Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel that you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? If not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministries' Compassionate Boldness Symposium on Saturday, September 21st. This four-hour event will take place at Calvary Chapel Wasatch Front in Clearfield, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. This event, by the way, is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. Again, this Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, September 21st at Calvary Chapel Wasatch Front, located at 564 South 800 East in Clearfield. We look forward to seeing you there. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're continuing to go through a transcript of a meeting that took place in Stockholm, Sweden on November 28, 2010, a meeting where two LDS church historians, Marlon Jensen and Richard Turley, were sent to calm the fears that some of the members had in the Swedish Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints regarding some of the historical problems they were finding when they looked on the internet. So these two Mormon historians are sent there to hopefully calm their fears and maybe convince them that all is really well in Zion and they shouldn't be worrying about some of these things. So far, though, as we go through this transcript, I don't think they're succeeding. Do you, Eric?
No, I don't think so.
I think these members had some really good questions, and I think they were very eager to get some satisfying answers. And I'm pretty impressed with the way they're asking the questions as well. Yesterday, we left off when Richard Turley admits, again, the second time, it's true that Joseph Smith practiced plural marriage and that he had wives who were not married to anybody else. And he also admits it's true that he practiced polyandry. In other words, that he married women who were already married to other men. Then Hans Mattson says 14 years old and 16 years old. See, Mattson seems to be very concerned about the young age of these. Now, as I was mentioning to you off air, Eric, it's the fact that he's marrying married women in any culture, in any civilized and even uncivilized cultures. Marrying a married woman is always wrong. I don't know of any culture that makes that okay, that is the norm. It's always wrong. And notice how Richard Turley is trying very hard not to point the finger of guilt at Joseph Smith. Guilt meaning that it was wrong for him to do that. And that's a question that Hans is asking. Is this okay? Is this all right? Does the church back this up? We're going to see that in the coming dialogue.
And you're right. He's bothered by the age of these young girls who weren't married yet, but still were being, I would say, pretty much forced by the parents and, go into this relationship with this man who...
Well, when you say forced by the parents, we do know for a fact Helen Mar Kimball, who was 14, was certainly pushed into her marriage relationship with Joseph Smith by her father, Heber C. Kimball. She, from what we understand, assumed that the relationship, when she finally goes along with it, was only for eternity. And then she finds out, no, it's for time as well. So that whole Helen Mar Kimball story is just incredible in and of itself.
So then Turley says he had a wife who was 14 years old. But remember, on the frontier in America, women married young, often as young as 12 years of age, because the lifespan of people in those days wasn't what it is today.
Well, wait a minute. I cannot find anybody, any statistician or any historical account that would give me the impression that on the frontier in America, that women married young, often, as he says, as young as 12 years of age. Am I saying that never happened? No, I'm not saying that never happened, but he uses the word often. I didn't. Often as young as 12 years of age. I would love to see the documentation that would support this statement that Richard Turley just made to these Swedish members. Now, imagine you're a Swedish member hearing this, and you trust your leaders, you trust your historians, and he just said that that's not uncommon. How would you know otherwise? Okay, even if they did marry a little younger, I don't think you're going to find any evidence that says often as young as 12.
That's amazing.
Which, of course, would make Joseph Smith marrying a 14-year-old not seem quite as bad, even though, folks, when he married Helen Mar Kimball, he was 37 at the time. He wasn't in his late teens or early 20s. He was 37 years old and married to Emma, we know at least her legally, and several other wives as well.
Yeah, and Turley goes on and says, on the frontier, not as much in the rest of America, but on the frontier, if you look at population studies, if you look at censuses of people across the American frontier at the time, they often married quite young. So marrying a 14-year-old in those days was not the same. It was like marrying a 21-year-old today.
Now, when you listen to the recording, a woman in the crowd, and the woman in this meeting, says, you cannot compare that. In those days, marriage was also their sex debut. You cannot compare that. A 14-year-old was like a 10-year-old today.
He's saying a 14-year-old in those days was like a 21-year-old today, but still, 14 was not an average marrying age back in those days. There's no evidence to show that, and that's a very young age.
Well, then Turley tries again to defend this by ignoring the question and wanting to move on when he says, my point is, there was a different societal normalized age of marriage in those days. Let's move on. Let's move on. This is a complicated.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like we ought to have a bell for the ring. He gets 3 minutes and you go back to your corners and he says, knock it off. We've got to move on. When this is a huge issue for these folks and they want to talk about it, I don't think he has great answers. And I think he knows that he doesn't have great answers.
Well, when he keeps wanting to move on, I get the sense he's uncomfortable with this subject.
Oh, sure.
Because quite honestly, Mr. Turley, you don't have a good answer for this. You know you can't say that Joseph Smith was wrong, because if it was wrong and it was sin, he never repented of it, which means he would never qualify for the celestial kingdom according to the doctrines of Mormonism. You got a real problem if you take Joseph Smith out of the celestial kingdom and you put him somewhere lower like the terrestrial or telestial. But he can't answer that question correctly, because if he does, he really puts his prophet in a bad light. Now, what amazes me is, as we mentioned before, Marlon Jensen said he doesn't have a problem with any aspects of Mormon history. Really, Mr. Jensen? You don't have a problem with this? I wish Mr. Jensen could have answered the question instead of maybe Mr. Turley. Maybe Jensen could have just boldly gone where no man has gone before and said, yeah, this was right, and I know for a fact God told him to do it, but he can't because there's no evidence to that.
And this is the second or third time that Mr. Turley has said, let's move on, but Hans is not going to let him off the hook. What's he say next?
He says, you think that's the most important question. Does the church recognize this practice as being okay? Does the church officially endorse this polyandry? Or do they recognize that it might actually have been an error? Do you have an opinion on that from the church?
And here's the assistant church historian saying, I have never seen a formal statement about that.
To which Mattson says, the basic question here is, of course, then, was this a mistake done by Joseph Smith? And if it was, how could he continue to be a prophet? He's connecting the dots. He sees the problem here. He goes on to say, and if it was not a mistake, it must be endorsed by the church, I guess. Good observation, Mr. Mattson. Because if the church can't come out and denounce what Joseph Smith did as a sin, then their silence gives the idea that they must give consent to it. And Mr. Mattson is merely wanting to know if that is in fact the case.
Turley responds, what the church does say on these questions about Joseph Smith in general is this. Either Joseph was a prophet of God or he wasn't, correct? And the way in which you decide that, not just intellectually, but spiritually, is the way that Elder Jensen talked about at the beginning. That's the official church statement on the matter. I've never seen an official church statement that goes into the details.
And then Hans Mattson says, but why does my spirit talk to me and screams wrong, 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 even if it's a prophet of God? Do I have the devil in me who's talking to me and says I should understand this 14 and 16-year-old girls marrying? I can't. My spirit doesn't. I can't get it through my mind. Is it the devil speaks to me that I should accept that because Joseph Smith is a prophet, so he did that right? It was God told him to do that. Go behind Emma and take these wives.
I think now, in a paragraph summary, I think the feeling that all of us, anybody who has a moral sense to them would say, exactly right. There's something morally wrong with what has been done back in the 19th century.
But do you see a bigger issue that is at stake here, Eric? Because remember, as I mentioned before, Elder Jensen said he doesn't see anything wrong that bothers him in Mormon history. This man, Hans Mattson, an Area 70, which he wasn't at this time, I don't believe, but he was an Area 70, so he was a man of authority. His spirit tells him it's wrong. Jensen doesn't find a problem with anything in Mormonism, so I have to assume he doesn't find anything wrong with this kind of behavior. Mattson does. A lot of other Mormons do, too. So if that's really how the spirit works, why is the spirit comforting one and disturbing another? And it's over the same issue. This is why you have to be very careful by making judgment calls based on feelings. If Mr. Jensen is already in his mind given blanket approval to no matter what Joseph Smith does and can say he has no problems and is not bothered by anything in Mormonism, is that really a man you want to get opinions from who is willing to let Joseph Smith really do anything he felt to do and have no consequences whatsoever, to have no moral guidelines whatsoever? It's just, he's the prophet. God told him. He said God told him. Therefore, I'm going to support him in whatever he does. Therefore, it doesn't bother me. Hans Mattson is not experiencing the same thing. And he's wondering, do I have a devil? Because I don't agree with this. It's wrong to me.
And here's another shout out from the audience. And the person said, girls who were working for them in the house, things are starting to get out of control here. And so the referee has to step in.
Well, the thing is, when the question is asked, or the statement is, girls who were working for them in the house, that was something we brought out when we did our series on Emma Smith. Don't work for Joseph Smith. Don't go into his house. Don't let him stay at your house. He'll probably end up marrying your daughter or marrying your wife. And history seems to bear that out. So this person seems to know that. Maybe they read that book on Mormon Enigma.
And the referee I refer to is Elder Kopichki, who comes in and tries to have a monologue for this goes on for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, he tries to say, well, there's a lot of things in the scriptures, the Old Testament, that I do not understand. Well, we're not talking about Old Testament here. We're talking about just the 19th century. And this is supposed to be a New Testament church. At least that's what they tell us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.